The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. We're talking to Julie Kelly about January 6th, but we wanted to take a quick break here before we continue the conversation with her to share a letter that someone wrote to us, to us, meaning me, and to us at the show. I want to read the letter, or maybe Alvin, you can read the letter and I can answer the letter, because this gets to the heart. Sometimes when we do Ask Metaxas, we don't really have the time to get into these things because some of these things are kind of deep and we like to answer a whole bunch of questions. Ask Metaxas, by the way, every Thursday, hour two. So right now in 3 days, we're going to do another Ask Metaxas. But sometimes people write in and it's a little, it's deeper and it takes more to answer it. So I kind of thought now would be a good time. So Alvin, why don't you read, read that letter?
Yeah. This, and if you go to metaxastalk.com, there's a comment section. You can send in brief letters as well, usually brief, and we'll answer them on Ask Metaxas on Thursday. But this one came in from Linda from Blaine, Minnesota. It's involved and it's a good one under the subject of all are not praying. Dear Eric, I just listened to your radio show, which was an old replay of a man who's being singled out by the Biden administration from the 1621 Capitol episode. You made the comment that you believe that people are praying for God to act and to bring about an end to this false government. I believe, she writes, we're facing God's judgment since we've become a godless nation. We still allow the sacrifice of thousands of innocent babies. The LGBTQ people still rule along with pedophiles. And the AMA has stated there's no official sex determination, i.e. male, female, any longer. Need I go on? We got the evil leaders this nation deserves, Eric, and people are not waking up, turning away from their evil ways, repenting and seeking God's forgiveness. You are fooling yourself if you believe otherwise.
That was fighting words. This is a very good letter. And this is Linda from where?
From Blaine, Minnesota.
Okay. Yeah. How many Lindas could there be in Blaine? Well, I just want to say that I appreciate what she has to say. So thank you, Linda, for writing to us.
She's frustrated, obviously.
Well, here's the thing. There's a lot of truth in what she says. Fundamentally, I disagree, but only fundamentally. The details of what she says are correct. In other words, we continue to be a nation that countenances killing children in their mother's wombs. That's clear. We are a nation where kind of radical, anti-Christian radicals who call themselves the LGBTQ lobby. But I mean, there are tons of gay people in America who don't agree with the radical LGBTQ trans agenda, right? So this is all a little bit complicated. But I think when people of faith like this woman make it all sound so terrible, I think they're focusing on the wrong things. The idea that, oh, things are terrible, we're killing babies in the womb. Folks, do I need to tell you that in 1950 we had Jim Crow laws in America? Now, you're supposed to care about that too, right? But you didn't say, oh, America's going to come under judgment because we're treating blacks like second-class citizens. This is in America. In many of our lifetimes, blacks in the South were treated as second-class citizens. Now, would you have said then America's under judgment? I mean, God judges us, yes, but he also puts up with our garbage, with our foul sins, oftentimes, because he hopes to turn us from our wicked ways. Slavery existed in this country for a long time. Should God have smashed this country? So here you see a Christian who maybe agrees with us in many things, who is adopting something very similar, ironically, to the Nicole Hannah Jones 1619 project. Somebody who says, this nation is bad, bad. Yes, bad things happen, and Americans do bad things, and we have passed some bad laws, and we've allowed some bad things to happen. But who gets to decide when it's like game over and God's going to judge us? It seems to me that enslaving people in America in the millions over decades would be pretty similar to where we are with abortion in America, that Jim Crow laws 100 years after the Civil War, that would cause God to judge America. But we serve a merciful God. He puts up with our horrors, with our filth, with our sin, not because he agrees with it and not because he isn't a God of judgment, but because he has mercy and he wants to give us an opportunity to repent. And so I want to say to this woman, you know, we had a president who appointed three constitutionalists to the Supreme Court, three. And Christians across America, many of them, have been so upset about this president. He did more in appointing those three justices to the Supreme Court, we're talking about President Trump, than any president has ever done to push the needle in the opposite direction with regard to murdering the unborn. And I don't understand why. I get the impression that there are people that are in love with the idea that God's going to judge America. It's over. They seem to like that. And again, that to me, ironically, it's the same as the 1619 project. America bad, game over, crush, kill. When God decides to judge us, I will be grateful for his hand of judgment. Just at the same time, I'm grateful for his hand of mercy when he stays his hand of judgment. And so I think for anybody to kind of say, well, things aren't going the way I think they should go, so the country should be judged, is really no different than somebody who would have said that at any other time when we had equal horrors in the country. I mean, I don't know what world people think existed in America before the Civil Rights Act or before slavery was abolished. Was everything okay with you and America was just fine? Clearly, sins are sins are sins. I mean, these are grievous sins, and America was not judged. Or maybe we could put it another way. Alvin, what about this? What about if we say, yes, America was judged in the Civil War, and the judgment allowed slavery to end?
Yeah.
And it strikes me that we're being judged in a way now by going through a kind of a civil war, a kind of second revolution. Rick Joyner mentioned it on this program.
And as you notice, she ends her letter with 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name. So there's an if in there. There's an if my people. So there is time because there are people and they are turning, they are repenting, they're waking up. They're not woke, they're awake. They're waking up. Arise, O sleeper, from your sleep, and God will shine on you. Remember that scripture?
Yes.
So there is hope. That's part of God's plan, hope for the nation.
Well, that's the whole point is I think that it's our job to fight and pray. And when God says it's over, then it's over. But until then, I think we really have we're commanded to hope, we're commanded to be faithful. I mean, when the scripture says be anxious for nothing, it means stop whining and pray. Yeah. And I think a lot of times Christians say, oh, it's over, it's miserable, we're going to be judged. You don't have the right to make that determination until the Lord judges, unless he tells you specifically. But when the word says be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through supplication with thanksgiving. I mean, we're supposed to pray against these evils. Just as, I mean, imagine if somebody said, oh, the nation is going to be judged because of slavery. I'm going to stop working hard for abolition. I'm going to stop praying for the abolition of slavery. folks, we've got to do everything we can possibly do. And I do believe, and I think this is subjective, but I get a sense that there are people waking up, that there are people that they look at $4 gas prices and they say, what have we allowed? I mean, that's nothing compared to the other horrors, but I think there are people waking up. We're going to go to another break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Julie Kelly about January 6th. Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the three-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a three-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the three-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works. Folks, I'm back with Julie Kelly. Julie, first of all, congratulations on all your reporting and now collecting it in this book, January 6th, which seems to me the definitive accounting of what happened on January 6th and how the left in America is using it as a cudgel to beat back those of us who believe in American-style self-government and liberty and are willing to talk about it. So we're living in a fascinating moment culturally. And one of the reasons I have hope, I addressed this a few moments ago in responding to a letter written to me by one of my listeners. One of the reasons I have hope, which I didn't say a few minutes ago, is folks like you and John Zmirak, who are not, you're not shrinking from dealing with this. You are stepping up, you're dealing with it, you're putting it out there. Every day, more people are encountering the facts and the truth. And every day, more people are waking up and saying, how is it possible that I was going along with this narrative? And it's completely wrong. Mm-hmm. I feel scandalized. I feel used and abused that I would trust people like Nancy Pelosi and others that maybe I disagree with them, but I never thought they were capable of this kind of thing. I thought this happened in other countries. Well, folks like you are writing about it. Who published your book?
Post Hill, Bombardier Books, Adam Bellow. So they're cranking out a lot of good stuff. He just published Scott Atlas's book. Sorry. Of course, the great Dr. Scott Atlas, who was right about everything COVID lockdown. So great publisher. And it is available on Amazon and Barnes and Noble. And I'll tell you, Eric, and this, I'm not bragging about myself, but we didn't do any paid promotion for the book. And it's still in the top, I think, number 5 of new releases on Amazon, because people do have a great interest in finding out more about January 6th than what they are being told by the mainstream corporate media.
Well, it's absolutely amazing, again, that we could be at a place in America where it's possible for most Americans to be lied to and then to accept the lie. Because I think part of the narrative for me, Julie, is that when you live, if you want to know how something happened, when I wrote about Bonhoeffer, I was sort of examining, how did this happen in Germany? Because many of my relatives were there at the time. My mom was there as a kid. How did that happen? And you realize that part of the reason bad things happen is because of historical antecedents. What happened right before to kind of set them up to believe the lie? And I think in America, we've had so much freedom and so much goodness in this country that most of us, it takes a long time before we could allow ourselves to believe that in America, these things could happen. In other words, part of the reason we allow the lie to continue is because we think this is simply not possible. We know that in America, these things don't happen. So it takes time for us to realize, no, there are evil actors in America, in American government, in the FBI, in the CIA, in the Congress, who really, whether through ignorance or through genuine malevolence, are the enemies of American style mm-hmm. liberty and self-government. It's very hard for us to take it in. But thanks to folks like you, we're beginning to get the memo.
I think that is so well said, Eric. And I do think some good things are going to happen in 2022. And you already see this happening. You see now the CDC and public health experts now completely backtracking on everything that they've said for almost 2 years. You had Rochelle Walensky this weekend, the CDC director, finally confirm what some of us have been reporting really from the beginning. And that is that 75% of the COVID fatalities are people who had at least four comorbidities. These are not people and haven't been from the beginning people dying directly of COVID. So now you have the CDC director finally admitting at least three quarters of the people that they chalk up as COVID fatalities had other comorbidities, were unhealthy people who, of course, are more susceptible to dying when there is a dangerous virus. You see the changes in what they initially told us about the vaccine. The vaccine, if you get the vaccine, Joe Biden said, you will not get COVID. That was a lie. You get the vaccine, you will not transmit COVID. That's a lie too. You have vaccinated people, double vaxxed, boosted people who are getting very sick from COVID. So you have that whole thing falling apart. We also are going to have the trials related to January 6th, more information coming out. Also going to have the trial, very important, the Whitmer kidnappers. That trial starts on March 8th. This was a completely FBI concocted and executed ruse, a caper, to influence the vote in Michigan in October of 2020. As early voting was underway, the FBI came up with this plot. It entrapped people to try to execute this plot. There were at least a dozen FBI informants and agents involved in it. And when did they announce the arrests of these seven men, six federal defendants? October 8th of 2020. People were voting in Michigan. People were voting in other states across the country. This created huge negative headlines for Donald Trump. The FBI once again interfering in a presidential election. If anyone thinks that this FBI, after we've watched it now for almost 6 years, is not decades really, but especially the past 6 years, is not capable of executing what happened on January 6th, you're not paying attention. You have to open your eyes and realize that this is an agency, the DOJ, the FBI, working with the national security state and House Democrats and some Republicans to not just go after Trump, but to completely put their collective boot on the throat of Republicans and conservatives across this country.
Well, I want to say again to my fellow Americans, if you don't fight, if you don't speak up, if you in any way go along with this, you are guilty. And when I say guilty, I mean you are complicit in destroying liberty in our generation. And how many Germans looked the other way because they thought, well, I don't want to lose my job or I'm not sure what will happen. Folks, this is your time. When people say, oh, if I would have stood up, I read the Bonhoeffer book, I would have been on the right side. Well, the fact is, if you're not on the right side right now, you wouldn't have been on the right side in Germany. You would have aided and abetted the murder of millions of innocents in the death camps. Folks, everything we do has consequences. And if you're not willing to speak up for the truth today, why do you think you would have spoken up for the truth at other times? Speaking up for the truth always costs something. Julie, in your book, in the previous book you wrote, because the new book is January 6th, but the book you came out with a year and a half ago, what is the title of that? I want to talk about that a little bit because it's connected.
It's called Disloyal Opposition, How the Never Trump Right Tried and Failed to Take Down the President. I wrapped it up in February of 2020, right before COVID hit. And of course, Trump was riding high and Never Trump looked like they were disintegrating, which they still sort of are. So that book was released in July 2020 and just talks about a lot of the people we just discussed and how they were just relentless enemies, not just of the president, his administration, his policies, and the entire Republican Party.
Well, there's a real irony, when you're talking, for example, about National Review. because one of the most famous things William F. Buckley, the founder of National Review, ever said was that he would prefer to be governed by the first 300 names he finds in the Boston phone book than by the faculty of Harvard College. Now, what he meant by that, of course, gets to the heart of what it is to believe in American-style self-government. The idea that we don't submit to some group of self-appointed, overeducated elites, but that we, the people, have the ability to govern ourselves. That is what Comey and Clapper and Brennan and Hillary Clinton and down the line, what they all seem to disagree with. They seem to believe that they know more than we do and they have more rights than we do. This is the scandal of our time. I mean, it is, you know, it makes the Stamp Act and whatever was happening before the revolution look like nothing to me, because they didn't know better. When King George III was making these decisions, they didn't know better. We're supposed to know better. We're supposed to know what it means to be self-governing, what it means to be free. I get the impression from talking to you that you have hope that enough people are waking up. I do too, but talk about that.
Well, I do think a lot of people are waking up. I think this is why the book is pretty popular so far, as I said, just with nothing but promotion on earned media and social media. You see some House members now who have been sort of silent. I'm not talking about Kevin McCarthy, but others who want to be more informed and engaged in what's happening. You saw, as we just talked about, sort of the smackdown of Ted Cruz and his comments going along with the left. So I do think as these trials are moving along, and the first trial scheduled, the first January 6th trial is scheduled for February, and we get more evidence. And then you have all these other collapsing narratives, the COVID narrative, the election fraud, more evidence of election fraud. And so I do think that 2022 is going to be a real eye-opener, not just for, say, regular Americans, but for our craven Republican political leadership in Washington.
Hang on one second. We're going to go to a break. Be right back with Julie Kelly. In case you haven't been paying attention, the Biden administration has caused a financial crisis and they have no clue how to fix it. Oil prices have skyrocketed, and when oil prices go up, the cost of transportation and shipping spikes, leading the prices of goods to rise. And when we're already seeing record inflation, that's the last thing we need. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. If all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It is real. It is physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. I'm talking to Julie Kelly. I want to ask you folks, please go to my website, ericmetaxas.com. Sign up for my newsletter. For the love of Christmas, sign up for my newsletter, because we want to send you these interviews, the video interviews right now. Many of you are listening via radio, but I hope you'll go to ericmetaxas.com and do that. Julie Kelly, your book, January 6th, is doing very well, as it should. I hope many people listening to this program will buy a copy. You talk about collapsing narratives. People in America have learned, because of these events, to distrust all the people they used to trust. The medical establishment, there's a level of cravenness that is astonishing, that the people that we would trust in that establishment have just lined up with whatever they believe they're supposed to say. The people in the political establishment. So I do think Americans are waking up. And if Americans don't wake up, America goes away, because America is Americans who are awake and who are governing themselves. You mentioned Ted Cruz. I want to go back to what it was that he said or didn't say. What did he say? Sum up for my audience how he framed this when he was on Tucker. I saw it, but I'm interested in your view.
So he said in a Senate committee hearing to the U.S. Capitol Police chief that we are on the one-year anniversary of a violent terrorist attack. He commended the brave law enforcement officers who protected the Capitol and protected lawmakers inside, never noting, of course, that a police officer, as I said, shot and killed Ashley Babbitt, that police officers assaulted, attacked, beat, stomped, maced American citizens on Capitol grounds that afternoon, a hugely uncovered, ignored story that I talk about in my book, people who have been attacked and were attacked by these police officers. So Ted Cruz, now it wasn't the first time he said it. He tried to tell Tucker that it was sloppy. He was misunderstood. But the fact is, Senator Cruz has said that a couple of other times. And so Tucker really confronted him on this and said, you know, this is not was not a terror attack, nothing close to it. And this is what the left is doing. They are now using words like that, Ted Cruz's words, to accuse now millions of Americans of being terrorists, comparing us to Al Qaeda. This is what's happening. And so that to me was a real glimmer of hope that we're not going to put up with leaders.
Well, what's interesting to me is that Ted Cruz, because I was really interested in exactly what was said, why there was this blowback. And what's interesting is that when he was on Tucker, you know, effectively apologizing, he didn't really apologize in the sense that he said that he has always referred to attacks on cops as terror attacks. So he's trying to explain why he called it violent terrorist attack. Mm-hmm. But first of all, an attack on a cop, by definition, is not a terror attack. It's an attack on a cop. We condemn it. But there's a difference between attacking a cop and terrorism. And he's way too smart to not get that.
That's right.
But then further, the idea that cops were attacked, I still don't know what cops were attacked. Who attacked the cops? So we don't even know what he's talking about. In other words, he's expecting us to kind of go, yeah, right, the cops were attacked. And I say, no, I don't know quite what it is that you're saying. I don't know who attacked the cops. If some bad actors attacked the cops, I think everybody would say they should go to jail. But we don't know who did that. And then he still would not apologize or take back framing that as a violent terror attack. And I thought it saddens me when I see somebody that I genuinely like and respect, like Ted Cruz, become cowardly in the way he frames things. He's trying to trying to make common cause with some people by framing it that way. And I think I don't know if he has yet learned that it will not go well for him if he plays this game.
Well, I think he learned that last week. And I think it sent a message to other Republicans who want to use that sort of terminology to describe January 6th. It's preposterous on his face. Let's just even assume that the narrative is true, which it's not, that Trump incited this organic uprising that day, infuriated his base. They started attacking the Capitol, smashing windows, just randomly attacking police officers. Let's say that even that's true, which it's not. It still is not a terrorist attack. And to compare it to other terror attacks, which Ted Cruz basically did when he said that, echoing people like Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and Merrick Garland, who've compared this to Oklahoma City, compare it to 9/11, compare it to Pearl Harbor, so demeaning to the tragic loss of life that happened on those real terror attacks. Four people died on January 6th. Every single one of them was a Trump supporter. At least one was killed by police, possibly two. Another woman, Roseanne Boylan, who I talk about in my book, that the DC coroner lied about what happened to her. There's evidence of police brutality happening right near the spot where she died. Police dragging her lifeless body through an entrance tunnel, hiding her body from the public until paramedics could arrive. I talk about this extensively in my book and in my regular coverage. So the deadly terror attack took four lives of Trump supporters. Did you hear any of their names mentioned last week, Eric? Did you hear the president or anyone talk about them?
What I heard Joe Biden say, I don't think in my life I have ever heard any political leader say anything as despicable as what Joe Biden said. I said, this is a new level of lying and deceit. Mm-hmm. It rises to the level of satanic. It was so vile what he said. I can hardly think about it without getting very upset. We'll be right back, folks, talking to Julie Kelly. The book is January 6th.
Folks, Eric Metaxas here. Somebody just handed me a piece of paper with insane information on it. But I know it's true because the other day I literally got a phone call from Mike Lindell telling me, Eric, you got to check out. And then he tells me about this towel special, right? And he says, you got to tell your audience. Okay, so here's the special. $39.99 if you use the code Eric. Normally $109.99. We're talking about the towels that work. We've talked about this before. It's a technology where the towels actually do the job of being absorbent and, you know that whole thing. So they're amazing towels, but you can get a set of six towels for $39.99. You have to use the code Eric. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the new radio listener specials, and or you can call 800-978-3057, 800-978-3057. Use the code Eric.
Folks, I'm talking to the author of a brand new book, a very important book. January 6th is the title. Julie Kelly, you've done the reporting on what actually happened on January 6th, a year ago. And what actually happened is dramatically different than what we keep being told. I can't believe that Joe Biden was able to say the things that he said the other day. He accused Donald Trump. I mean, this is just a magnificent level of ugliness. It's just unlike anything. It's unprecedented in American public life to have the member to have somebody in the White House use his bully pulpit to spread foul lies. It's beyond anything I had ever heard. I really couldn't believe it when I saw it. As wicked as he is, what he said, I thought to myself, they must be scared to death. They must know that if they do not push this, ram this down the throats of the American people, they're all going to be in trouble. That's the only way I could make sense of how vile and dramatic the lies were from his mouth.
And that raises more concern about what happened that day. And I've said this repeatedly. If it was so awful what happened on January 6th, why do Democrats like Joe Biden have to lie about it? Why did you have Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi lie about the number of police officers who died on January 6th? They still lie about Brian Sicknick, who did not die related to anything that happened on January 6th. He died of a stroke caused by blood clots near his brain, tragically died at the age of 42. They've lied about that since day one. They added, Eric, a police officer who was run over by a Black nationalist, radical Nation of Islam follower, was run over and killed, Billy Evans, in April. They added his fatality to the overall law enforcement fatality count for January 6th. This is how flagrant and evil these people are. They don't care what death they exploit. They don't care how many lies they tell. They don't care how they intentionally mislead and deceive the American people. They will stop at nothing to promote their narrative and their propaganda. We saw it on steroids on January 6th. Everyone from the president to Kamala Harris, Nancy Pelosi, Republican lawmakers like Liz Cheney, and of course, the national corporate news media, all lying about what happened that day. Why do they have to deceive the American people? If it was really that bad on its face, you wouldn't have to make up things about it.
Well, and listen, we always have to say that it was probably Mark Twain, I think, who said that, a lie travels around the earth four times before, you know, Truth gets his shoes tied so he can go chase it and track it down. I mean, lies get out there, and then good luck getting them back, and good luck. And I was questioned in an article over a year ago by Emma Green at The Atlantic, and she put in front of me all the information about how Brian Sicknick was murdered and blah, blah, blah. And what did I think about that? And when the information came out very shortly afterward, like a week later, that that was completely wrong, neither she nor The Atlantic retracted it or clarified it. And I thought, you're doing yourself and journalism a disservice. You need to work with what is right and true. And if you have a different point of view, I will respect that. But people put these lies out there. And it seems to me that what's behind it, Julie, speaking as a Christian, it seems to me that there are people who don't care about truth. They care about winning. They somehow have persuaded themselves that they are right and what they believe is true. And it doesn't matter how they win. It doesn't matter. And I really think that they have, as you're outlining and as you outlined in your book, January 6th, they've thrown away the Marquess of Queensbury rules. They no longer want to play fair. They simply want to win. And if they know that they can lie and lie and lie and get away with it even a little bit, they go, well, it's worth it.
That's right. They want to win because they want power at all costs. And they don't care if they lie. And when they're caught lying, let's talk about the biggest lie about Brian Sicknick, which I cover in my book. And that is the January 8th, 2021 New York Times report that claimed Brian Sicknick was bludgeoned to death that day by Trump supporters using a fire extinguisher. That article was sourced to two anonymous law enforcement officials. It made it in every major news outlet, every publication, every cable news outlet picked it up. They didn't even question it. There's still tweets to this day that say that Brian Sicknick was bludgeoned to death with a fire extinguisher. That lie remained in the New York Times. It even made it into the House impeachment memo. To this day, there's a huge lie in a government document about what happened to Brian Sicknick. The New York Times retracts the story finally on February 12th, 2021. Did any of the reporters who said it get fired? Did any editor get fired? Did Dean Baggett, the editor-in-chief of the New York Times, come out and apologize to the American people for lying that this account never happened? It should never have been in his paper. Nope. They just corrected the story and moved on to the next story, which was that Brian Sicknick died suffering an allergic reaction to chemical spray, which also wasn't true. And the New York Times picked up on that too. But it doesn't matter because no one's ever held accountable. No one is ever fired. No one's ever condemned by their own side for telling all of these lies. So they just keep doing it.
I've lost a lot of friends and a lot of viewers and listeners because I talk about these things on this program, not every day. But I just think to myself, I always ask myself, how can I write about heroes like Dietrich Bonhoeffer? But when the chips are down, I'm going to shrink back and worry about my career. We have to believe that speaking the truth and doing the best we can is why we're put on this earth. And we have to trust God with the results. It falls to folks like you to do the journalism of our time. And so I'm just thrilled that American greatness has allowed you to have a place where you can write. I'm thrilled that the book January 6th is out, and I hope people will buy it. And I hope that everybody listening to this program will understand, folks, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to share these interviews. You have a responsibility to tell the truth where you are. We'll be right back. Final segment. We're talking to the author of January 6th. Don't go away. Folks, final segment with Julie Kelly. The book is called January 6th. Julie, I just thank God that you exist and that you are working hard to get the truth out at a time when, let's face it, many people are working hard to keep the truth away from most of us. But we're not about to go down without a fight. What can people do to help? I mean, besides buy your book and share this information wherever they can, what else can folks do?
Well, Eric, thank you so much for having me on and spending all this time getting into some of the details. It's so important. And hopefully we've given your viewers and listeners some information they didn't have before. So thank you so much. What people can do, of course, I'd be grateful if they would purchase my book just so they have all of the information and details. Also, I would ask them to push their Republican representatives in Congress and in the Senate to talk more about this and defend the people who are ensnared in this abusive investigation. I also would point people to the Patriot Freedom Project. It's patriotfreedomproject.com. Eric, there was no apparatus in place to help people with legal defense or families who needed financial help because their husband or father was dragged off to this DC gulag where they've been languishing for months, fired by their job, causing great financial strain. So this is a really great project that was started by the adoptive aunt of one of the detainees, and it's raised a lot of money. So if people are looking to help these people, I think that that's the best fund that they can go to and contribute whatever they possibly can to show support that we're in solidarity with not just these Americans, but we're in solidarity with each other against this left Biden regime and these Never Trump Republicans who are doing everything they can bit by bit to chip away at this wonderful country, the rights that we possess, and what we want to be in the future.
I think most of us growing up through the years in America really didn't think it could come to this. When I wrote my Bonhoeffer book, I remember thinking, I can sort of smell this stuff on the horizon. I can see how in the distant future, maybe. The idea that this is happening right now is horrifying, but I think it's a bracing corrective. We've been sleepwalking, many of us, thinking that people like Mitch McConnell or Kevin McCarthy gave a damn about American-style self-government and liberty. We have woken up. Many of us are waking up. But folks, I want to encourage you. You need to do what you can. Please go to patriotfreedomproject.com, patriotfreedomproject.com. A lot of you can give something. Patriot Freedom Project, patriotfreedomproject.com. This is important. It is horrific that there are folks languishing in DC jails. It's almost unbelievable. Julie, I'm just grateful for your work. Thank you for reminding us about Patriot Freedom Project, .com. But this is important. We're all in this together, folks. This is an heroic moment. And you can say, when these things were happening, I stood up, I did something. Or you can live with guilt and shame for the rest of your life. Some people like that. I don't think you should. Julie, I'm just so grateful for you. We'll have to have you back to continue the conversation. The book is January 6th, and the subtitle is, tell us the subtitle.
What is the subtitle? Let's see. Oh, yes. How the Democrats took the Capitol protest to use the Capitol protest to launch a domestic war on terror against the political right.
There it is. January 6th is the book. Julie Kelly is my guest. Folks, also go to patriotfreedomproject.com. We need your help. Big deal. Julie, thank you.
Eric, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.